I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight about this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, first five verses, where Peter refers to the suffering of Christ as something that helps us to defeat sin. If you look through 1 Peter, Peter actually refers to the suffering of Christ several times, and he does so for a good reason, of course. It's a letter written to Christians during a time of persecution. And Peter is encouraging Christians to maintain their faith in the face of that persecution, which is, of course, going to be very hard for them. And they're going to suffer. And if there's anything that can strengthen us, strengthen our resolve, it should be, of course, the suffering of our Lord. And in this particular text, chapter 4, first five verses, Peter is talking about our fight against sin, temptation. And he holds up the suffering of Christ. And he says, this is it. This is what is going to help us to defeat sin. Let's read the verses with me, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. These first few words, therefore, since Christ has suffered in his body, or in some translations, in his flesh. Things that Paul goes on to say in this passage is based on that. It's built on that statement. Since Christ has suffered in his body. It's interesting, isn't it? We often think of the sacrifice of Christ as the thing that secures our salvation, because in dying, he paid the price for our sins, or he made atonement for our sins, or he covered our sins. And it is through his death that we can be forgiven of our sins. And yet here we are still in this world in a fight against sin. We're still living in this world. We're still struggling with sin. We can, of course, always be forgiven of our sins because of the death of Christ, but here's something else about the crucifixion which helps us. His suffering. And in our struggle against sin, we're going to suffer too. Because we're in this world, and this world is a world of suffering. It's a world in which denying sin and fighting against sin is not easy, and it causes the body discomfort. And his death and the way that he died helps us. It's interesting. Since Christ suffered. And the word is suffer. I mean, there's no question about that. It's about pain. It's about the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual suffering. But since he uses the word body, or flesh, I think we're primarily, in this case, talking about physical pain. And the thing that sin does is offer us pleasure. Offers us comfort or satisfaction and pleasure of the flesh. And we have to deny that. We have to fight that. And it's not easy, and it causes discomfort, even pain. Christ suffered terribly in his death, in turning himself over to death. He allowed men, evil men, wicked men, he allowed them to inflict this pain on him. He told his own disciples, "When I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be turned over to these men, and I'm going to suffer." He says this, "I'm going to suffer many things at their hand." And it was the hands of those men who beat Jesus and whipped Jesus and drove nails into his hands and feet. And he did suffer many things with their hands. In fact, you can think about it and realize that there really wasn't any part of Jesus' body that wasn't subjected to abuse. Crown of thorns driven into his scalp. And the fists that pounded on his eyes and on his nose and on his mouth. The slaps upon his cheek and the smacks upside of his head and his ears. And then when he was scourged, typically a scourging would be on every part of a person's body, not just their back. Be on their legs and their arms, both the front and the back of the torso. And then, of course, the nails that were driven into both his hands and both his feet. So Jesus was afflicted everywhere in his body. And Peter says that we need to arm ourselves with the same attitude. Now that's incredible. Because the attitude that Jesus had going into this was, I know what's going to happen to me. I know what they're going to do to me. He told his disciples what they were going to do to him. He talked about the slapping and the spitting and the scourging and the death. He talked about these things. He said, these things are going to be done to me. And yet he went to Jerusalem anyway. He went to the garden anyway, even though he knew that that is exactly where Judas would be looking for him. And when they did come for him, he said, here I am. Knowing that these things were going to be done to him. Have this attitude in yourselves. How? In what way are we to have in ourselves the attitude that Christ had? Arm yourselves with the same attitude. Our fight with sin has to look to the cross for our approach. We have to think about this struggle that we're going to have with sin with the same mindset that Christ had when he anticipated and went to the cross. I'm going to suffer. This is going to be hard. It's going to be painful. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to let these men do this to me. I'm going to let my body suffer. And that's what we have to do. We have to have the same resolve to allow our flesh to be denied. And you see, that's the exact opposite of the mindset of the world that we live in. The world that we live in is quite hedonistic. the only real sin in the minds of the world is to let oneself suffer. That is terrible, to go through suffering. Suffering is the worst thing that could possibly happen to you, and you should do anything and everything that you can think of to avoid suffering. And if your body wants something, then you need to let your body have that, because why should you suffer desire and suffer deprivation? Give your body what it wants. Let it have it. Feel the pleasure. Feel the satisfaction. Don't deny your body anything. Now, we like to point out that indulging the body, leads eventually to pain and discomfort, because when you let your body have everything that your body wants, then your body suffers from that. And that's why classical hedonism actually was quite measured. Greeks taught a hedonism that says, look, indulge yourself, but to moderation. Don't overdo it, because if you overdo it, then you'll cause yourself discomfort. But the ultimate aim always was comfort and pleasure and joy. Epicureanism is practicing the satisfaction of all of the things in life that are enjoyable with moderation, so that you can continue to enjoy them, and that was the aim. And I'm convinced that the people in our world and our society who think of themselves as being smart and intelligent think exactly the same way. They say, yeah, you just need to be more careful. Practice precautions. Use precaution, but indulge yourself. Enjoy yourself. Be careful, but enjoy yourself. Indulge yourself. And that's the philosophy mentality of the world. But that's not the attitude that was in Christ, was it? And as Peter goes on to say in this passage, we've read the words themselves, don't you act like those pagans, don't act like those Gentiles who indulge themselves with this kind of sin, this kind of wild living. Don't do that. You think like Christ, who denied himself and who turned himself over to even actual physical pain and suffering. Now, this is not a call for us to practice asceticism where we cause ourselves self-harm. That's not what Peter's talking about. He's not talking about inflicting pain on yourself. He's talking about denying yourself sin, which is not easy, and it's uncomfortable and not pleasant. It'd be so much easier to just give in to the sin, give in to the temptation. And yet, Peter says, you need to think like Christ and say, the body is not to be indulged. There is a higher calling, a higher purpose, a higher meaning to life. And that's where the crucifixion of Jesus helps us, shows us the way. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. It's a way of conquering sin, of defeating sin, of overcoming sin, by adopting this model, this example, this mindset, this attitude. And when you make up your mind and you say, you know what, the body's going to suffer. It's going to be denied. It's going to hurt. It's going to cry out for satisfaction. But I don't care anymore, because Jesus died for me. He suffered for me. That's the thing that we need to figure out. Whoever suffers in the body with its fears, its desires, its temptations, has to be turned over. Decide, I'm going to let it suffer. Now, as Peter says, your friends, your neighbors, your fellow worldly people, the people in the world, they're going to look at you, you're crazy. Why would you deny yourself that? Why would you go through that deprivation? They're going to think you're crazy. And Peter says, no, they're the ones who are crazy. Look to Christ. Realize what is truly life indeed. Understand what he understood. Accept the deprivation. Accept that you're not going to be able to give pleasure to your body the way that they do, no matter how difficult that might be. make that decision. And once you do, sin loses its power over you. Temptation loses its power over you. Now, I'm not saying that this is easy either. Just because we think about Christ dying and we adopt the same attitude that Christ had, I'm not saying that's going to be easy. It's going to be painful. And pain is never easy to deal with. So, how is it possible? How can we make this offering? How can we deny the flesh? How can we do these things? How can we possibly win this fight? Because having the same attitude as Christ is not going to be easy for us to do. Well, of course, that's where it starts. Since Christ suffered in His body, since He did, you start thinking like He thought. That's how you're going to defeat the body. You're going to think like Christ thought about His body. I want you to notice this word, therefore. It's interesting, isn't it? Every time you see that word, therefore. The word, therefore, is an arrow that points back. Peter had just said something. And because of chapter division, sometimes we miss it. We miss those connections. But the word therefore points back to something he just said in the previous chapter. So let's read the last two verses of the previous chapter. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers subject to Him. Therefore, you see, Christ enables us to defeat sin. He enables us to defeat sin through His suffering and the example that it sets for us and the mind and attitude it calls us to and helps us in our resolve and our struggle against sin. It helps us through His death because in dying for our sins, we don't have to live under the owner and condemnation and sentence of our sins. He delivers us from those things. You know, why should you struggle and fight against sin knowing that you can't possibly always defeat it? You're always going to lose, if not a lot, even just a little bit. You lose against sin. So why let yourself suffer? Why go through that pain? Because Jesus suffered and He died. And dying, He pays the price. There's a reason to keep fighting because He gives us victory. Also through His resurrection. This body, you know, why deny this body pleasure? Why let this body suffer? Because the body can be redeemed. It can be raised as He was raised. It can be made into something heavenly and eternal and glorious. Let it suffer. Because it's only going to be for a little while. He gives us victory through His presence. He is in heaven, even right now, at the side of God. And everything is subject to Him. Everything. He has power over everything. Therefore, fight sin. And all of this happens through baptism. Baptism even now saves us because it connects us with the death of Jesus. It connects us with the suffering of Jesus. It connects us with the resurrection of Jesus. It connects us with Jesus who is in heaven right now serving on our behalf. So fight sin. Arm yourselves with the same purpose, the same attitude, the same mindset. Fight it. Don't give into it like the Gentiles do. They're going to have to answer for what they've done, but you don't. If you'll enjoin the battle, take on Christ in baptism, fight sin, suffer. It'll be painful. It'll be hard. Do it. Because Christ gives us the victory. Well, that's my lesson tonight. If you are here and you want to arm yourself with the same attitude, you know what you need to do. Come and say that you will as we stand and sing.
...164, this will be the song before...